Hello everyone, I'm Rob Crowley, president of Cooperative Grow. I'm a Power BI enthusiast and a speaker at the upcoming PaaS Business Analytics Conference that's in Santa Clara in April. Today, I'm excited, really excited to be chatting with a good friend of mine and fellow speaker, Mr. Excel himself. He'll be in Santa Clara with me in April, speaking at the conference. And he's, he almost needs no introduction, but really just sort of, the name in Excel, the Excel community, the top blogger, speaker, trainer, MVP. He also has a name. Bill Jelen is his name. That's Mr. Excel. And today we're doing the PaaS Business Analytics Meet the Experts podcast. I think Bill definitely qualifies as an expert. So, Bill, I'm really looking forward to your conference session at the BA conference. Mr. Excel's most productive analysis techniques. As a side note for our listeners, you can get a sneak peek what to expect from the session by watching Bill's recent webinar for the analytics virtual chapter, Mr. Excel's favorite tips and tricks. Find that under the learning tab at PaaSBAconference.com. PaaSBAconference.com. That's all one word except for the .com. So I'm so glad, Bill, you can join us today to talk about what I call modern Excel, what it can bring to business analytics professionals. Also talk about the top Excel questions you've been seeing from the community and, what new Excel features we should be learning about this year to be more productive and to get the most out of our data.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So we'll just dive in. First question. So it's pretty easy to say that you're a data guy, through and through. When did you first sort of discover that you liked working with data, and what path, just give us a little bit, the creation story of Mr. Excel. How'd you come to be where you are today?
It goes all the way back to the late 1980s. I was had an internship running COBOL programs for a handheld computer manufacturer in Akron, Ohio. And back in the day when someone needed a report, right, we had to custom write a COBOL program. It would take 6 or 8 hours just to get a simple little ad hoc query generated. Of course, that was a one-time thing. They would never ask for it again, or they might ask for something slightly different, and then you're going back into the code. And someone up in our finance department was frustrated with that process and bought a fourth generation reporting tool, and they were looking to hire someone to come up and run that tool so they'd be able to get data out of the mainframe without having to write a COBOL program. So I applied for that job. Was very happy to move upstairs, right, from the IT department into the end user department, where they had wood paneling and higher salaries. And on day two, I discovered that tool that they bought didn't work. Right? It didn't do anything. It couldn't do the reports they needed to do. And I kind of went skipping into the VP of finance, the CFO's office, and said, Hey, this thing doesn't work. And he's like, oh, no. We just paid $100,000 for this tool. It works. Trust me. Right? So I went back down to my office and said, well, all right, what am I going to do? So I realized that one of the tools that it had, was, one of the most popular buttons in tools today. But instead of export to Excel, it was called export to Lotus 1-2-3. And so while he thought I was actually doing everything with this big, impressive $100,000 system, I was actually back there downloading the mainframe data to Lotus and then learning every way in Lotus to very quickly take that data and make it into a report. I'm competing against my former coworkers down in the IT department who are going to take 6 to 8 hours to do everything. So even if I could turn something around in 3 or 4 hours, I was seen as a hero. That's how it all started.
Wow, I'd never heard that part of the story. And a couple of things really striking to me about that. First of all, I think one of the truths that kind of run through data people, the people who enjoy working with data, is that we all kind of have a either a good habit or a bad habit of speaking truth to power. And, you know, we thrive in organizations that value that. And sometimes we have to learn political skills in the places that it's a little bit less, you know, accepted. And I think, you know, you're talking about the late 1980s, and like I look at today's landscape and I say, it's kind of funny how little has changed in a way, right? Like we still have these same, you know, we still have these Excel, export to Excel buttons that are the, you know, basically the secret way that the expensive tools are used to, you know, feed real analytics in Excel. We're still ripe for a revolution in how we do analytics. The opportunities, it's not like the opportunities that were there in the late 80s have gone away. In fact, we finally have a tool set now that allows us to take advantage of it. You know, you took us through that phase, but then, you know, just give us the last little, you know, tail end of that story. How was MrExcel.com born? How did that transition take place?
Right. So as you can imagine, because I'm running spreadsheets every single day, and getting faster and faster and faster, I became known as the go-to guy in the company, right? If anyone had a Lotus or later Excel question, you know, they would come up to me. And one day one of my coworkers came in and said, you know, you seem to know everything about Excel, you should write a book. And I said, all right, well, we need material. So his name was Kevin. I said, Kevin, I need you to come in every single day and ask me an Excel question, and I'll write your question down, and we'll put it in this drawer, and after 2 months, we'll have enough material for the book. So Kevin gave me an Excel question. The next day he gave me an Excel question, and then we forgot about it. And 2 months later, we opened the drawer, and there were only two questions. I said, well, this just isn't going to work. And the company that I had been working for, you know, we were second in our industry, always competing against this hated competitor. And finally, after I'd been there for about 10 years, the competitor made a run at us. They made a hostile takeover bid. And I said, oh, this is going to be bad. I'm going to have to go back out looking for a job, figure out my interview skills, get my resume back together. And where am I going to send that resume? So it was Thanksgiving weekend in 1998, and I launched the website, MrExcel.com, put an article out there. So I'm going to put an article here every week. Send me your Excel questions. I'll send you an answer to your questions via email. The best questions are going to end up in the book. But secretly, when I started the website, I figured I was about to be out of a job in 2 months, and if I could get 100 people to send me their Excel questions, then when I had my resume and I had to go look for a job, I would have 100 places to send a resume. So the whole thing was a ruse. The whole thing started out as a ruse, but when our competitor came in to do the due diligence on the deal, they discovered things they didn't like and they backed out of the deal. Now all of a sudden I have this website where people are sending me their Excel questions. I'm getting up at 5 o'clock every morning, answering questions from 5 to 6, and then going into work. You know, and so that's how it was born. Eventually, I was getting more questions than I could deal with, and so I launched the Mr. Excel message board, the community forum, where you could post your questions there. And I asked people, I said, hey, after you post your question, just look at the question right before yours and see if it's easy. See if you can help them out. It's like the take a penny, leave a penny jar. And this whole community sprung up that has just generated, well, at this point, over 750,000 Excel questions and answers that are all searchable and indexed. You know, you can't go to Google and type in an Excel question without having to show up somewhere near the top. It's just an amazing database that was generated from this passionate community of Excel people.
And passionate they are, for sure. And by the way, folks, Bill's saying that he started getting up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. He's always gotten up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. I think he sleeps about 4 hours a night. He's like Tyler Durden from Fight Club. Does not require sleep. It allows him to be who he is. Okay, so next question. If you had to pick like one thing, about what I call modern Excel, today's Excel, which contains a lot of things that, you know, really the broader world hasn't even really discovered yet. What would be the one thing that excites you the most about, you know, what I call modern Excel in terms of data and business analytics?
So you're trying to pin me down on one thing, and that's really tough because I'm really, really excited about Power Pivot. Power Pivot is amazing in that we're not limited to a million records anymore. Even more amazing that we can join data from different worksheets into a single pivot table without having to understand how to do VLOOKUP. Now, to me, VLOOKUP is one of the required skills in Excel, but I understand there's a lot of people who can't do VLOOKUPs with their eyes closed, and so Power Pivot helps them. All right, so Power Pivot is the elephant in the room, but the thing that probably excites me most is Power Query. Power Query. Now, I'm going to sound just a little bit sarcastic here. When I look at the stuff that Power Query can do, my initial reaction was, all right, they've written this for people who don't know Excel, right? This is for, let's call it, the weak, right? We could do all this stuff in regular Excel. We could knock out formulas to do all this stuff. But then after using it for a while, I have to admit, I really enjoy just clicking a couple of icons in Power Query and having it do what used to take 10 minutes in Excel. And the best part is after I've finished all those 20 steps, it's generated the M code, which then allows me just the next day to come back in and click refresh. One of the best things about being an analyst is getting to do something new, right? So you discover some data source, you pull that data source in, and it is a lot of fun to go through and clean up that data and create something new and hand that off to your manager. But then the worst thing they can say is, hey, this is great. Can you do it every day? Right? And it was fun on day one, and it's sort of fun on day two, but by day 17, it's miserable. And Power Query just lets me take those horrible things and make it be a single refresh all button. And it goes through and does all the steps. And I still get to have the fun of figuring out how to do it the first time, but then not the drudgery of having to do it every day after that. So my one thing is Power Query.
Wow. Okay. So Power Query is definitely like a close second for me behind Power Pivot. And I totally understand why it's your number one. Wow. So many cool things in there. One thing, for business managers who are listening, people who enjoy their work, analysts who enjoy their work, are incredibly productive. So there's actual business value. We talk about fun, and hey, fun is great. I'm part of why I do what I do is because I enjoy it so much. But fun is also a productivity thing. And then the other thing you talked about, which is the repetition, being able to keep this report alive. It's really, I think, for people who sort of don't use Excel intensely. But do consume the work of others. I think it's very hard for them to see exactly how much time is being burned on just turning the crank on these things. So there's a huge productivity gain to be had in modern Excel, which I wanted to just kind of underline there. And Power Query is just amazing. I think we're really just starting to see what Power Query can do, especially when you use it in tandem with Power Pivot. So, yeah, those are my top two. Why even pick a favorite between the two, even for me? Those are the two for me as well. All right, so if you were, sort of the same question but kind of rephrased, and again, I'll try to get you to pick one, and you did, so good for you. But people working in analytics, what should be on their must-learn list from the Excel, the Excel suite, the modern Excel suite? I'm assuming it's one of those two, but maybe it's not.
I'm sorry. This is just habit. This is habit. I can't change this answer. And I realize it contradicts what I just said in response to the last one, but the must learn thing in Excel this year is VLOOKUP. Look, there are two kinds of people in this world, people that can do VLOOKUP and everyone else, right? And VLOOKUP will get you out of a jam more often than not. And more importantly than that, if you just run into me in the airport and you say, hey, VLOOKUP, I'll take you to the bar and I'll buy you a beer, right? You now have a friend, right? There's this club of people that can do VLOOKUP in their sleep, and just learn it just so that we can be in the club. We don't even force you to come to the weekly meetings. Just say that you can do VLOOKUP in your sleep.
Oh my gosh, that's blasphemy, man. I mean, I get it. I get the whole card carrying member of the club thing, but at least say pivot tables, I mean, those are the two. Those are the two genetic markers of, sort of like the data people are VLOOKUP and pivots. At least pivot. I don't know. I'm not gonna badger the witness here. but I'm going to take that up with you offline. I'm disappointed in you, Bill.
Pivot table in a good way. It was a close second, but it still comes down. At least I didn't say DOS prompt command line stuff. You know, at least I've moved on from that. So
yeah, COBOL and punch cards, right?
Right.
So all right. So back to Power Pivot. You've written you wrote the first book on Power Pivot, and that's sort of how we first met, you know, really closely anyway, when I moved to Ohio. But you also wrote another book. There was someone who wrote that book with you who was kind of a celebrity. I forget who it was, but you know, what would you tell people who still aren't using Power Pivot? You know, this add-in. What would you have to say to them if they're not using it or haven't heard of it?
You need to go over to your IT department and start knocking them around, right? The people that I run into who haven't heard about this yet, it's because the IT department hasn't installed it, hasn't endorsed it, hasn't whatever. And, you know, I get people saying, well, wait, I don't have 100 million rows. Doesn't matter. I don't have 47 tables I have to join. Doesn't matter. Even if you just have 500 rows, single flat file, Power Pivot lets you do things that are impossible to do in Excel. And I hate to say anything's impossible to do in Excel, but, you know, I love pivot tables. Pivot tables are a great thing. The calculated field logic in pivot tables, and Rob, I hope that wasn't your area of expertise. The calculated fields in pivot tables is horrible. It looks like it was written by a kindergartner compared to what you can do with the measures using the DAX formula language in Power Pivot. Just if you ever, for anyone who's ever taken a data set, created a pivot table, and your first step is copy and paste the values so you can then do real analysis on it, you no longer have to copy and paste the values because the calculations that were impossible before are now possible. Right? So, you know, you don't need 100 million rows. You don't need 47 tables. Anyone who has any amount of data and needs to summarize it over and over and over again should be taking a look at Power Pivot.
I'm going to distill that down to a crucial soundbite. Bill Jelen says, Power Pivot, it makes the impossible possible. Okay? There we go. I'm going to be running around with that for the next, you know, the next 2 years at least. And no, calculated fields and pivot tables were not really my responsibility when I was at Microsoft. Actually, it was my responsibility to make the decision every, like, you know, 12 months to not invest any more effort in improving it. So, you know, I guess you could say I was responsible back at Microsoft for that feature never getting better. Of course, now, ironically, the incredible power of Power Pivot, the entire DAX measure calculation language that you're talking about that just, you know, changes the game forever. Excel 2013 has been renamed to be calculated fields. So it's like we ended up with this amazing thing, just like the greatest gift ever, and then got it renamed to be the same name as the thing that we all learned to ignore within our first, you know, several months of working with pivot tables. It's a little bit funny what's lurking behind that button now. But, hey.
Yeah, the irony is huge there. Imagine someone, you know, had fallen asleep for 10 years, hated calculated fields, and now they wake up, and all of a sudden calculated fields is the superhuman version of itself.
Yeah, it'd be hard for them to, you know, even click the button, I think. So, anyway, plus it's a blast for people like you and I, you know, who write books and everything. We get this, you know, we need to produce two different versions of our books and just look to find and replace. It's, you know, it's for chuckles, that we do these things. All right, so moving on. So, hey, the Mr. Excel website, it's really kind of a family of properties, if you will. I mean, you once told me, and this was years ago, you once told me that the MrExcel.com websites get something in the neighborhood of 1 million unique visitors a month. I mean, that's extraordinary. The reach of that. Like, the rest of us are striving to measure ourselves in small single-digit percentage fractions of that. So, you know, we're talking to someone here who really does reach the world in a big way. And, you know, on your, you know, I know that you sit there just like a data mining machine. You're reading every single word written on your website all the time. You're just like plugged straightly in, like an Ethernet port in the back of your head. What are the top one or two questions you're seeing right now from your readers and listeners?
Well, you know, some things never change. You're going to get the same questions over and over and over again, dating back to 10 or 12 years. But one of the best questions that I saw just this morning, I'm so happy to see this question come across, was, hey, here's a bit of M code, and I'm trying to do something in Power Query. Is there any way to make this more efficient? All right, and that's a great thing, because that means someone out there downloaded Power Query, right? They've gotten to the point where they're not just clicking buttons. They're actually going in and trying to edit the M code and, you know, trying to figure out that code and make it better. There's, I think, one book on Power Query. I know our Ken Poles is working on a new book called M is for Data Monkey, but that doesn't come out till this summer. So, you know, just trying to find other people who have gotten in to Power Query, started to look at the M language, and try and figure out how to hack that, how to make it the most efficient way to go, is a really, really good thing. So that was really good that this morning that question came across. Very encouraging to see more people starting to ask about the modern Excel instead of just how do I do two conditional sums using SUMIF.
Yeah, that kind of thing is fantastic news. It sort of highlights how resourceful and driven sort of the Excel community is in general. Like if you give them a better way to do something, you make them aware of it. It's not long before they're devouring it. It's awareness is really sort of the biggest issue, I think, with most of the modern Excel features. Okay, so kind of related to that, like when we talk about analytics or business intelligence, like, you know, those are, in my experience, those industries, a lot of their history is built up with professionals who really never were the Excel people. They never were they weren't doing what you were doing. They sort of, that was sort of their, you know, the Excel wasn't their entry point into that world. And I think as a result, Excel doesn't really get the respect that it deserves very often, sort of in that analytics and BI space. So as an Excel MVP, what's the biggest misconception you'd like to dispel about using for Excel for analytics?
This question just baffles me, because I don't understand the people that don't completely respect what can be done in Excel. It's this massive, massive blank canvas where you can literally solve any program there is. It doesn't matter if you're trying to figure out how many widgets to order next month, or, you know, how to make quilt patterns, and I've seen both of those done in Excel, it's the most flexible program in the entire world. I mean, no matter what industry you're in, we can use Excel. All right? So if someone isn't respecting Excel, they clearly don't understand how incredibly flexible this tool is, and it can be made to adapt to solve millions of different problems. And the other thing I want to point out to the people, let's just go with sheer numbers. There's 800 million computers that have Excel installed on them. That is just a massive number of people. It's a huge audience. Let's compare that to any other business analytics tool. And our installed base is just running circles around them. 800 million people can't be wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think Excel suffers in perception quite a bit from being the sort of the sibling to things like Word and PowerPoint and Outlook, which are all great tools. But Excel is like this wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, kind of hiding amongst those other things. I mean, like, take something like Word. It's for the production of documents. And I think from the outside, most people, even when I worked at Microsoft, before I worked on the Excel team, from the outside, I kind of thought of Word and Excel as basically the same thing. So even I was, sort of not above this at all. The truth is that Excel is the world's most popular programming language by far. Even just formulas, Excel formulas is a programming language. So people who manage teams, who have Excel experts on there, I want you to, maybe think about those people as business programmers. And the documents that they build are not documents, they're applications. That's the truth. It's not just a shift in mindset. But it does require that shift in mindset. And yeah, there is a perception problem for sure. It's much, much more capable and valuable than people don't necessarily give it credit for. So, moving on. If you were a business manager, back in today's corporate world, you were running a team, I'm sure that, you'd be looking to leverage data, to the greatest advantage. In my experience, that always comes back to people. So in this, this role that I've invented for you, which won't be hard for you to imagine, as you started building out sort of your organization's, data analytics team and capabilities, when you're talking about looking for people, either hiring them or developing them, what sorts of capabilities and characteristics would you be looking for in those candidates, or what would you be looking to develop in them?
Yeah, you need a certain bit of logical bent. You need to understand, just the basics of here's what we have and here's the result we need to get to. What are the steps necessary to get from point A to point B? And most importantly, to be able to recognize as you're going along, if something happens that doesn't look like you expect, you need to have the discipline to stop, right, and say, what caused this? What could have just gone wrong in the last step? And so many times you get someone who says, all right, geez, I have 14 things I have to do in order to get from here to there. And they're so focused on those 14 steps, they might not, notice that in step 9, they did X instead of Y. And you need someone who's willing to pay attention, right? The analysis part, the attention to detail. Because if you're dealing with 100 million rows, boy, it's really easy to do something a little bit wrong. Instead of multiplying by 1.1, to multiply just by 0.1, not to realize right away that, hey, order of magnitude, something is massively wrong here, and stop and figure out what's going on. So for me, it's always attention to detail. Back in the day when I actually did get to hire people, it was always, I want to make sure that you can do a V lookup with your eyes closed. Although I guess that's much less important now.
Wow. I would not have gotten hired. I would fail the eyes closed V lookup test. Sorry, Rob. No job for you here. Bye-bye.
Now, Rob, as a special gift to you, because we have such a good relationship, could you close one eye and squint the other eye and still do the V lookup?
I probably could. Yeah.
Okay. And all right. I'll make it an exception for you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And what should we set that last argument to, Bill? Is it true or false?
It's false. Always false. Never true. Never. Never leaves off. Never true. It's always false. Just do it.
Bill's favorite softball question has to appear in every discussion. So there you go. I loved your list, especially the attention to detail and everything. The one I would add is curiosity. I can do a lot with curiosity, and you don't need an engineering background, or you don't even really have to have enjoyed math in high school to be really good at this stuff. It's curiosity and sort of like a just an interest in using these tools and solving mysteries that I look for. And, we talk about things like data guy and all that, whatever, but like in reality, more than half of, you know, like more than 50% of the classes that I teach, mostly more than half of the students are women. And I see this curiosity, this interest in women, even more frequently than I do in men. So compared to other technical professions, you know, where, you know, programmers sort of stereotypically, you know, end up being male for some reason. Not true at all in analytics. In fact, I think the opposite is true, which is really, really kind of neat. All right, so the past conference itself, the place where you and I are going to be speaking in April out in Santa Clara, you know, sort of its whole reason for existing is helping, you know, members of the data community connect with each other, you know, kind of share their problems and their solutions, learn from each other. You know, how important are these community connections for people who work with you know, data in Excel every day? Is that a big deal? How is that?
It's a massively big deal. The community aspect of this is so important because, you know, we're dealing with tools that have such a wide breadth of possibilities. It's not like there's only three things you can do. And what I find is in the community, someone will have discovered some cool thing about one corner of Power Query, Power Pivot, Excel, and they're happy to share that data or that technique with other people. One thing that I watch happen a lot at the forums, like the Mr. Excel message board, is we get to know people, you know, a few people are really good at array formulas, a few people are really good at VBA and really good at pivot tables and really good at regular formulas. And, you know, you put a problem out there in front of those people and you don't just get one answer. You get people working collaboratively to build answers. And then, you know, the people who are regulars, the people who come back routinely, I mean, they'll learn these array formula tricks that maybe just one person discovered the first time and is now, you know, well known and used over and over by a lot of people. So it seems like, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're all dealing with data. It's not like you're necessarily giving away trade secrets to your company's biggest competitor. You know, we're all here together as data analysts trying to take big, ugly data from the IT department and create useful reports. And to the extent that we can help each other that, you know, hey, there's a better way to do that pivot table or, you know, we discovered that there's this hole in the fabric of Excel that you really can use an auto filter on your pivot table, even though Microsoft tries to gray it out. You know, those little bits and pieces, well, it's not going to be useful to all 800 million people. It's going to be useful to a really large segment, you know, so this one discovery might help 8,000 people or something like that. It's a huge, even if it's 0.001% of the user base, you know, your discovery can help a lot of other people and you get respect for that. People are happy to see you ask the questions. They're happy to see you take those questions or take the answers they give and use them and come back with better questions. It's, you know, a real, real important aspect of the whole thing. And, you know, you'll make, connections here. You'll meet people. You know, the next time that you're stuck alone at 9 o'clock at work trying to solve some stupid problem and you can't, you know, you're the only guy left. The building is dark, you and the custodian, they're usually, I hate to stereotype, but they're not good at pivot table. You know, you'll be able to reach out to someone in the community and get the thing done and get home. So, it's very important.
Cool. Yeah. Totally agreed. Like, us in the Excel community have been, you know, we've been frustrated for a long time with the lack of a conference for Excel. Especially with the advent of modern Excel, I don't think there's any conference in the world that would be more valuable, to business, than a conference where Excel people concentrate to learn new skills. It's just kind of interesting that this, especially in the analytics space, Excel analytics, it's interesting that it's, you know, it's kind of never been anyone's job to create such a conference. That's really the number one reason why such a conference has never existed And this is one of the things that makes me just super, super excited to be part of the Business Analytics Conference with PaaS is that, you know, we are featuring Excel in this. Like, it's a big component of what we're doing, and it's the reason why I'm involved. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this conference, you know, helping it grow over time and become that exact conference, the most valuable conference. Seriously, like, most valuable tech, quote-unquote, tech conference in the world for business. So I'm really excited to have you on board in that effort, too, Bill. This is it's a really big deal for us. So you know, thank you very much for that. And, okay, last question. Who is your data hero? And just for, I know that a name pops into your head immediately, and I want you to not use that one because I don't want you to say it's me, okay? It's because, come on, that'd be embarrassing. Pick someone else, Bill.
Okay, so really then the question is, who is my second data hero? Is really what you're saying.
No. I know it's not me, so go ahead with your real number one.
So as I travel around the country and the English-speaking world doing my Excel seminars, I run into lots of great people. I always learn things from the people in my audience because Excel is such a wide breadth. And I always ask how many people have heard of Power Pivot, how many people are using Power Pivot. And this person, this was early. This was right after Power Pivot V1 came out. And, you know, anyone using Power Pivot in the room, and his hand shot right up, right? And I said, really? That's great to hear. I said, what kind of data? And he worked for the cell phone company that services the piece of Trinidad and Tobago, two islands in the Caribbean, just right down there off the coast of South America. I was down there doing a seminar. And he said that he basically gets every single call record of every cell phone call made in the country, somewhere on the order of 58 million records a day, every day. And his job is to analyze trends. And that just sounds to me like the greatest job in the world if you had 58 million new records generated every single day. So his name is Kelwin. I don't even know Kelwin's last name, but shout out to Kelwin in Trinidad for being the guy with the most data I've ever heard of. So that's my answer.
Are you sure he didn't work for the NSA?
I guess, you know, they might want to get out of the cold of Washington and head south. That might be possible.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bill, hey, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. It was a real pleasure having you on the show, being able to interview you. I'd like to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, and we invite all of our listeners to join us at that PaaS Business Analytics Conference in Santa Clara. That's in Santa Clara, California. You know, California, sunny California. April 20th to 22nd. And to learn more from an all-star lineup of Excel pros such as Bill and other analytics experts from around the world, I'll be there speaking. I've got two sessions, a full-day pre-conference session called Join the Power BI and Excel Revolution, which is all about that modern Excel thing I've been talking about. And a breakout session called Increased Margins, Period, Modern Excel and the Bottom Line. You can find out all about the conference, all the other sessions, and how to register at PaaSBAConference.com, PaaSBAConference.com, and we hope to see you all there.